Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Hey, before we get into our message, just a thought you guys probably should know, but I have a new book that releases on Tuesday. It is called Restore, Break Out of Your Past and Into God's Future. If you want to get it, you don't have to get it, but if you'd like to, you can pre-order it on Amazon, or we will have some copies next week at the Velcro Bar if you want to get it here as well. If you guys listen to SOS Radio this Tuesday with the release of the book, I'll be being interviewed from like 6:30 to 7:30 if you want to hear even more of my voice. Like, you don't hear enough, so. Hey, So I want to talk about invitations. So sometimes we get like normal invitations, expected invitations. Your friend calls and says, "You are my best friend. We've got some things to do. So do you want to meet me at the bar?" And of course you say, "Yeah." "Do you want to meet me at the lounge?" "Yeah." "Do you want to meet me at the club?" "Yeah." Some of you get what I'm doing here, and some of you don't get what I'm doing. If you don't get what I'm doing, I'm just a little cooler than you. Anyway, sometimes though, ask somebody on your way out, they'll explain. Sometimes we get surprising invitations. Have you ever gotten a surprising invitation? The first year we lived in Las Vegas, I got a couple of surprising invitations. So we moved here 9 years ago this month, and we waited a year before officially launching this church, Verve. That year I spoke at churches all over the country and a few here in town, including a Central over in Henderson. They had me speak there, and after I spoke there, the next week I received an invitation from someone who attends there and saw me speak. The invitation was to an event for the 50 most influential people in Las Vegas. So I look at it and I'm like, well, is this some sort of a joke? Like, is it a practical joke? Like, I just moved here. I don't know anyone. I might be one of the 50 least influential people. I don't know anyone. I'm certainly not one of the most. So I called the pastor over there, Judd, and I asked him, I said, "Do you know who this guy is? Do you know anything about this event? Is this real?" And he said, "Yeah, that guy's legit. It's a real event." So I kept reading the invitation, and it said that this event was at the Playboy Club at the Palms. And so I called my wife and I said, "Hey, I just got invited to an event for the 50 most influential people in Las Vegas." She said, "Fun, that's so cool, you have to go." I said, "Yeah, it's at the Playboy Club." "Say what?" Also, the first year in Las Vegas, while preparing to start the church, kind of just for fun and to meet people, I did stand-up comedy. So I did open mic nights, and then I got hired to be in an actual comedy show in an actual casino. It was, don't be too impressed, it was not the best or most reputable comedy show. Anyway, one day I get this email, very excited email with lots of exclamation points, from the owner of our comedy show who says, "We have been invited, our show, to do our show this particular weekend in a nudist colony in California." I'm like, what is going on here? I leave my church in Virginia. I'm like, bye, I'm going to start a church in Las Vegas. I've been here for less than a year, and I've been invited to the Playboy Club and a nudist colony. If they could see me now. It's weird, man. Have you ever received a surprising invitation? Today, I want to look at an invitation that Jesus gave to people way back when, 2,000 years ago, and they were surprised, I'm sure. And it's an invitation that we find in a book of the Bible called Mark. Mark is one of four biographers of Jesus in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to realize that this invitation that Jesus gave to people back then is the same invitation that Jesus gives to us today. So we are in a teaching series called That's Gonna Leave a Mark. And what we're asking in the series is, like, how does Jesus change our lives today? How does he give us new lives today? And the answer is, it starts with an invitation. We have to say yes. So we're gonna look at this invitation, Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 14. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen, and we give out free copies of the Bible, the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. If you'd like a Bible, we'd love to give you one. No catch, no cost. So it says, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So Jesus extends an invitation to these four guys, and they accept it. And today, Jesus extends that same invitation to us. Will we accept? Maybe the first thing we need to understand is, what does it even mean to accept an invitation, really? And specifically, this invitation. Now, you've probably never thought about it, dissected it like this, but every time you accept an invitation, you are agreeing to give up something and at the same time agreeing to become a part of something else. Every time you ever accept an invitation, you give up something and you become a part of something else. I'll show you what I mean with a couple examples, okay? So, like if I had said yes to doing that comedy show weekend at the Nudist Colony, I said no, by the way. But I would have agreed to giving up the weekend at home with my family, and I would have agreed to becoming a part of doing comedy for a bunch of old, overweight, naked people. I'm just assuming they were old and overweight. I'm just guessing. I don't really know. Another example, like if you invite someone to marry you, a proposal is an invitation, right? So let's say that I have a girlfriend named Jennifer, and she invites me to marry her. Well, she's asking me to give up some things, right? To give up some freedoms, the freedom to see other women. If I say yes to her invitation, I give up the freedom to do whatever I want with my time. I give up the freedom to leave the cap off the toothpaste. And if I say yes, if I accept her proposal, I agree to become a part of something, a marriage relationship, a part of her extended family. Or let's say you're invited to attend a Saturday morning wedding. If you say yes, you are agreeing to give up whatever else you could have done that Saturday morning, money for the gift that you're going to buy, and you're agreeing to become a part of something, the wedding ceremony, the memories, the party. So Jesus invites these fishermen. He says, come follow me. And he invites us, come follow me. What does he mean by that? What is Jesus asking us to give up? Do you know? And have you given it up? What is he asking us to become a part of? Do you know? And have you become a part of it? So first, what has Jesus asked us to give up if we say yes and accept? And the answer is, he has asked us to give up everything. Gulp. Everything. So look what Jesus says in Luke 14, 33. He said, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Jesus uses a word disciple. A disciple is a person who chooses to follow someone else and learn a way of life from them. And Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to give up everything. We could say it this way. This might be more accurate. You have to be willing to give up everything. Jesus is not saying, if you say yes and follow me, you hand over all your stuff. But he is saying, you're willing to give up anything. You're willing to do whatever God asks you to do, whatever he asks you to give, you're willing to. When we accept Jesus' invitation, we agree to give up not like just a bit of our time or 10% of our money or a few of the things we used to do that we shouldn't have done. We agree to give up everything, everything. And we see this idea repeatedly in the Bible. So those verses we just looked at in Mark, it said, the fishermen, it said, left their nets and followed him. Well, Luke tells the same story. Look what Luke says in chapter 5, verse 11. He says, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. So they did leave their nets and everything else as well. There's another guy that Jesus invites to follow him named Levi. He was a tax collector. Next chapter, Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me, and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Levi accepted the invitation. What did he give up? Everything. Everything. So he was a tax collector for Rome. For him to walk out on his job and become a follower of this upstart preacher who many viewed as an insurrectionist, as a threat to the Roman government, Levi was never going to get his job back, ever. I mean, he left everything to follow Jesus. And you see it over and over with all the people in the Bible who follow Jesus. They give up everything. Jesus once told back-to-back little stories to kind of illustrate this in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. He says, "The kingdom of God is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." Jesus said, he's like, listen, if you want to know what my invitation is like, what it's like to say yes and become a Christian, well, it's like a man who finds a treasure buried in a field. It's this awesome treasure. So he goes out and sells everything he owns so he can have that treasure. Jesus is saying, that's the deal. I mean, like, if you want in the kingdom of God, if you want a relationship with God, if you want life with God, if you want life in heaven eternally, give up everything. And just in case his listeners didn't quite get it, he tells another story immediately with the same point. Next verse, it says, "Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." Again, Jesus says, here's what it's like to accept my invitation. It's like a man who's been looking his whole life for pearls, and he's found pearls, but then he finds this amazing pearl, this perfect pearl. So he goes out and sells all his other pearls. He sells everything he owns so he can have this one pearl. What I like in that story is the guy didn't ask how much this great pearl costs. You'd think he'd be like, hey, what? How much can I get this for? And then go sell whatever he had to, keeping the rest, just to have enough money to buy this pearl. But no, he's like, everything else in my life pales in comparison with this pearl. I would gladly give up everything. If I had this pearl, I wouldn't want anything else. So he didn't ask the price. He just goes and sells everything to have this pearl. And Jesus says, that's what it's like to get to be in the kingdom of God, in God's family. And it's in those last two stories that we see why someone would be willing to give up everything. Like maybe you're hearing this and you are thinking, gulp. Maybe you're thinking like, why? So, I mean, I get it. Jesus over and over demands you have to give up everything to follow me. But why would anyone accept such severe demands? Why would anyone say yes to such a high price? Because the treasure is way more than worth it. But because the pearl of great price dwarfs everything else we own or could ever own. Like, listen, this is what we've been looking for our entire lives. Like, getting Jesus, getting forgiven of all of our stuff, getting a new life, having a relationship with God, like being loved by God with a perfect love. Being led on an adventure by Jesus, getting to make an eternal difference with your life, the promise of a perfect eternity in heaven is worth way more than everything you have or could ever own. Like to give up everything to get that is a bargain. It is the best trade offer you will ever receive. Jesus has invited you and me to follow. And if we say yes to the invitation, there's this willingness, I'm willing to give up everything. So, if you've said yes, one of the great things about our church, and most churches aren't really like this, is we get people from all over the spectrum. Like, we get people who are like, I believe this, and we get people who are like, I don't believe this. And so I don't know where you're at, but if you're like, I have said yes to Jesus, I said yes to following him, I'm a Christian. Can I ask you a few questions? You don't have to answer out loud or anything. Like, what do you still own? Like, is your money yours? Sure. Are your possessions yours? How about your time? Is it your time? Your talents and your abilities, do they belong to you? You use them for your purposes? Sure. I got a few more questions. I'm sorry. I know this is not good. It's annoying. But what about your rights? Like, what rights would you say, I still retain these rights? Like, do you have the right to hold a grudge against someone? Do you have the right to retaliate? Do you have the right to be angry? To yell at your wife? Nag your husband? Do you have the right to be prejudiced? Like, do you have the right to look down on other people as not being as good as you? Sure. Do you have the right to complain? To gossip? Do you have the right to not love someone? To not forgive someone? To not help someone in need? If you accept a Jesus invitation to come follow me, you agreed to give up everything. You agreed to give up everything. And I want to point something out, because maybe it's something you're not thinking of. So, and this is reassuring, I think. Jesus has done everything that he's asking us to do. He did it first. For instance, remember he walked up to James and John and he called them, leave your father's boat to follow me, right? That was a big deal back then. But think about this, Jesus had already left his father's throne, right? Pretty soon he'd go to a cross where he would be completely torn away from the presence of his father. So Jesus asks us, hey, I want you to be willing to give up everything. But he gave up everything for us first. He's not asking us to do anything he hasn't done for us. All right, so remember, when you accept an invitation, you agree to give up something and gulp, it's everything. But you also agree to become a part of something else. So when Jesus invites us to follow, what is it that we're agreeing to become a part of? Well, basically, we could say to become a part of his mission. Now, becoming a part of Jesus' mission, it means a lot of things, but I want to focus on three of them because I think there are three central things, and we find all of them in the text that we're looking at today. We saw Jesus invite people to follow him in Mark chapter 1, and then we saw it again in Mark chapter 2. Here's another time in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It says, he, Jesus, appointed 12. He invited them to follow, and if you read the whole thing, they said yes. It says, designating them apostles. What's an apostle? That word literally means someone who is sent out. So he calls them to follow, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So the first part, it says, is that being a follower of Jesus is about being with him. Which makes sense, right? Like, how can you be a follower of someone if you're not with them? Like, if I said to someone, hey, here's the deal. I would like to invite you to have a very special relationship with me. Like, I would like to have, like, a mentoring relationship with you, but it's vital that we never be together. Yeah, you'd be like, well, that doesn't, something's wrong. It doesn't make sense, right? And so to become a part of Jesus' mission, to follow him, is to be with him. It's like he loves you so much. He's like, I want to do life with you. Like, I don't want us to be apart. I don't want there to be distance. I want to be with you. And these people who said yes, they literally, physically followed Jesus. Now he's going out wherever he went, and they were with him. And by spending time with him, it changed their lives. Today, Jesus still invites us to follow him, and it still means being with him. And if we're with him, it still changes our lives. And as you spend time with him and get to know him, then you just love him more and you want to spend more time with him. And then you love him more and you want to spend more time with him. And you can spend time with him by reading the Bible, by praying, by singing worship songs, by going on a hike, by driving down the highway. But you do it with this consciousness that I'm doing this with Jesus. Like, I wanna drive down this road with Jesus. I wanna talk to Jesus. I wanna focus on Jesus as I'm doing this. And again, the more time you spend with him, the more you realize I'm changing over time. Like, I'm becoming more and more like him. It's a better version of me. So first, following Jesus is about being with him. And I would ask you, if you've said yes at some point, have you made a priority in your life of being with him? The second part is preaching or fishing for people. So we looked at Mark 3:14. It says he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And then we saw the same idea back in Mark 1, where it said, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Kind of weird, but here's the deal with this. So, God's love is what you and I were made for. So often in life we feel like something's missing. It's because we were made for God's love, and God's love is so good. The life with Jesus is what we're made for, and it's so good. Heaven is what we're made for, and it's going to be so good. It's also good that we want everyone to experience it. And that's why Jesus said, you are going to be fishers of men. The idea being like a fisherman tries to get fish into a boat. And in the same way, we try to help people into this kingdom of God. We want to help other people to find faith and to follow Jesus so that they can have God's love and have life with him and eventually someday in heaven. And that's why it says Jesus sent them out to preach. If you say yes to Jesus, he is sending you out to preach. What that does not mean is like becoming a holy roller or having like a Bible verse for everybody. Whenever they say something, you're like, well, you know, the Bible says, and you kind of make people feel like somehow you're better than them. That is not what Jesus did. Like, it's so cool. Everywhere Jesus went, the most sinful people wanted to be close to him. Why? Because he made them feel loved. And because his message was, God loves you with a perfect love, no matter how imperfect you've been. And that's what we do. That's what it means to go out and preach. We make people feel loved. Like, people should feel more loved around us than anyone else. And we have this message for them. It's this message of grace. God loves you with a perfect love, no matter how imperfect you've been. It's kind of cool because, like, no one's going to get offended if you say that, right? Like, I don't want to talk to people about Jesus because they might get offended. No one's going to get offended by you saying, hey, God loves you perfectly. How dare you? Like, that doesn't make sense, right? And so we're sent out to preach. Now, the intimidating part is there's so many people. Like, it's overwhelming. I got to go share this with everybody? I don't think I could do that. You probably can't. And so that's why at Verve, we encourage you to choose three. Like, well, you can't do everybody. I bet you could do three. Like, sure, I'm going to try to love everybody, but what if I chose three people that I'm just going to focus on? Like, I'll pray for them and try to build my relationship with them and maybe look for opportunities to share the message of love with them and to invite them here to church. Like, what if we chose three? Three friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members. We put a card on your seat today, and it's got your three with a place to write three names. And the idea is, man, maybe choose three. What if in 2018 you say there's three people I'm going to focus on loving, serving, trying to spend time with, and sharing the message with if I get an opportunity, inviting them to things at church? Like, you could do that with three, right? Let's do that. Third part, last part, is healing hurting people. So remember this verse we've been looking at. It says he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Okay, now it's gotten a little weird. Because of his love for people, Jesus healed people who were hurting. Right? He healed those who were hurting. And his disciples who said, yes, I will follow you, they joined him in this mission of healing those who were hurting. Now, a lot of the healing that they did was like physical healings and this driving out demons, and it seems weird to us, and it's like, I don't get it. Like, why was that back then? But I don't see that today. We've answered that question several times, including recently, so we won't today, except to say that we're probably not going to be involved in that kind of healing. But still, there are many ways that we can offer healing to those who are hurting. I think of the kind of things that happen here at our church at Verve, how we offered support groups for survivors of the Route 91 concert and been able to help nearly 100 of the survivors. We have people who come in every Tuesday at noon and they make lunches for homeless people and go out and give out, I don't know, dozens, maybe over 100 lunches to homeless people. On Tuesday night, we have something called Restore. It's a recovery ministry, and it just invites people from our church, our city, who have hurts from their past, who have hang-ups, and it's like, come in and learn how God loves you and how God and the 12 steps can offer you a path out of your past and into freedom. Wednesday nights, we have different groups who go each Wednesday night to Marble Manor, which is a housing project in a really bad area of town where the kids are growing up with poverty and surrounded by violence. And we just go and we hang out with them and we help them with their homework and we do activities and we just show them love and attention that they need. That's all helping bring healing to hurting people, right? And as a follower of Jesus, like, you have opportunities to do this every single day, guaranteed. It's, it's at work, noticing the person who's like not themselves, something is up, something's wrong, and caring enough to go over and say, what's up? Like, are you okay? And then really listening. It's that family member who's been struggling with whatever, who lives somewhere else. It's really praying for them and then calling to check in on them. If you've said yes to Jesus' invitation, you look for, have you been looking for opportunities to bring healing to those who are hurting? So, Jesus invited all these people in the Bible. He did not go up to people and say, believe in me. You don't see it. He didn't go up and say, follow the Ten Commandments, obey God. He would say to people, follow me. And what he's asking us today is, he's saying, follow me. We have some people, a couple people today and a couple people tomorrow, are getting baptized. They're saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And when we say yes, we're agreeing to give up something. That's what happens with every invitation. What we agree to give up is everything. I'm willing to give up everything for him. And we agree to become a part of something, being with Jesus, sharing Jesus with other people, and healing hurting people. If we say yes, yeah, that's what we do. And so I want to ask you, if you've said yes in the past, but you haven't really prioritized spending time with him, and you haven't really been sharing him with other people, and you haven't really been bringing healing to those who are hurting, maybe we need to just take a really honest look at our lives and ask ourselves a hard question. Am I really following Jesus? I might like to think I am. I might call myself a Christian. But if this is what it means to follow Jesus, am I really following Jesus? And if you look at your life and you realize, I haven't been, guess what? He's inviting you to start today. He says, it's a new day. Follow me. Maybe you need help. Maybe you're like, I've been struggling with it. We want to help. In fact, we're offering something called Next Step. Next Step are 4 1-hour experiences on Wednesday nights from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. starting Wednesday, January 17th. By the way, you heard us earlier talk about Verve groups. Maybe you're like, hey, I'm going to get in one. Oh, now there's Next Step. Next Step will be over before the semester of the groups begin. So you can be in Next Step for 4 weeks, jump into a group. They're not going to be like, oh man, my life has gone crazy. Next Step will help you to take next steps. It will help you to grow in your relationship with God, to discover your purpose, to increase your compassion. And you can sign up for Next Step today at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place, or on the Verve app or the Verve website. And if you take it, you'll be so glad you did, because it will help you to follow Jesus and to experience this life that God has for you. If you haven't really been following Jesus, okay, he's inviting you to start today. You start today. Want to hear something really cool? I didn't mention, of all the stuff we looked at, here's my favorite thing. So we saw these stories of Jesus going up to people and asking them to follow him, become my disciple. Back then, that's not the way it worked. What Jesus was doing was completely upside down. Back then, there were rabbis. It's like Jesus. He was a rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. And there were disciples. But back then, always, disciples chose their rabbis. Rabbis never chose their disciples. People would go up to a rabbi and say, I like you. I've listened to your teaching. I want to become your follower. Can I be your disciple? Disciples chose their rabbis. Rabbis never chose their disciples, but Jesus chose his disciples. He would go up to people and say, I choose you, come follow me. Weird. Here's what's cool. What we just saw was he chose fishermen. Fishermen back then were considered low-class, uneducated people. Everyone looked down on them. We saw Jesus choose a tax collector. Tax collectors were considered the worst of sinners. You're like, yeah, I know, IRS. No, way worse. Like there's way more to it. Like there were sinners, bad sinners, horrible sinners, and then way down there in the depths of hell were the tax collectors. And Jesus went up to Levi, a tax collector, and said, I choose you. Come follow me. Jesus did not choose the good people, the respectable people, the qualified people. He chose ordinary, sinful people. And that is really good news because that means that Jesus would choose me. And it's really good news because it means Jesus would choose you. Like, you might not feel good enough for God. You might feel like you are too ordinary, too sinful, too dirty. Yeah, exactly. That's why he chooses you. God loves you so much, and he is inviting you into a relationship with him. And the truth is, if you say, yes, I will follow you, you have no idea where he's going to lead you. It's like, what might he have for me? Where is he going to lead me? You don't know, but you do know you can trust him. You can trust him. He's got a new life for you. He's got a future for you. He has a plan for you, and it's good. And so can I encourage you? Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. Don't follow your dreams. Follow Jesus. He's got something better for you than what you have for you. He's got something better for you than whatever it is that you could imagine. And he is inviting you into that life. But you have to say yes. Jesus is inviting you to follow him, to be with him, and to share him with others and bring healing to the hurting. He's inviting you, follow me into this life. What will you say? What do you say? We're going to give you a chance to tell him, just on your own, a chance to pray about this if you need to pray about this. Just a couple minutes. During this time, our band's going to play one last song. And we also, during this time, have communion available, which is on the candlelit tables around the room. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. It's a reminder that before Jesus asked us to give up anything, he gave up everything, right? He sacrificed his very life. He was separated from his Father for us. And so we remember that when we take communion. We thank him for that. If you'd like to take communion, you're welcome to. If you'd rather not, that's fine as well. But I hope you'll use this time to really think about, will I follow him? Have I been following him? I can start today. So I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then we'll give you some time to pray. All right, let's pray. God, all of this just boggles my mind. The idea that, I mean, I know me. I know how ordinary I am. I know how unqualified I am. I know how sinful I am. And you say, exactly, I know that too. I choose you. Oh, it's so hard to believe that a perfect God would want imperfect me. But we see it in each page of the story. And God, my prayer is that everyone in this room would understand, I am loved perfectly. I am wanted by a perfect God. He wants to be with me. I don't ever have to be alone. He wants to walk with me through life, lead me through life. He has something in store for me. He has a future for me, a plan for me. It's better. I just have to say yes, and I have to trust him. God, help us to say yes. Help us to trust you. I pray all these things in the name of the one who came for us and laid down his life for us, who calls us to follow him. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.